This episode has been brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. They got the new Lawnmower 3.0. It's like a lawnmower, but for your balls. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code KJANDCHILL at manscaped.com. That's KJANDCHILL at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping. Trust me, your balls will thank you. Pause. Sometimes there's these little signals that you recognize because you've seen them before, and most times they worked out in a certain way. There were certain signals that were happening that told me, maybe in a different setting, or maybe even in this setting, me and you could probably do some things.
Right.
So I goes over to her and I ask her if I could take the container home with me to take photographs with, and that, you know what I'm saying, for a souvenir, because that was like the most beautiful, sexiest packaging I've ever seen weed come in my entire life.
Right.
She was like, "You can do whatever you want with it, baby." I said, "What?" I was like, "Yo, don't talk to me nice like that."
Man, she got the wrong one.
Yeah, oh, do shit. Not talk to me nice like that, yo.
That's funny.
Yeah,
shit.
You can't talk to me. He can't talk to me any kind of way, yo. All right?
That big, like,
you know what I mean?
Hey, I know you don't smoke weed. I know this, but I'm gonna get you high. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
Higher learning.
Oh, shit. Ain't nothing but a G thing, baby.
Yes, sir.
One.
Welcome
to
back.
The foe.
Okay.
He's at the dough. And back on the
I was going to say welcome back to Higher Learning, but if you're here, you're here. And you already know that you're welcome, because we all good and high. And it's 420 somewhere.
Death row is the label that pays, man. So please don't try to fade it. But
back to the lecture. This episode, we went and visited the original Cannabis Cafe. We got some rare exclusive weed from there called Mandarin Cookies.
What the fuck?
And then my nigga Trey went and grabbed this LA Honor.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's why we got the G thing, baby.
And then we're gonna switch it up a little bit on the vibe. We're gonna honor some of the artists that we love that have great songs that we like to sit back and roll a blunt with. I'm trying to build my weed playlist up.
It's like that, and like that, and
it's like this, and like that, and like this, and up. Drake creeped to the mic like a fan. You already know. I always end up cutting it off before at a point.
You want to cut Dre off, yo. Yeah, he had something to say, goddamn.
It's all good, Joe.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so I want to, you know, we usually open up with something from the 420 code, but then last episode, Trey made up a rule. So this episode, I think I'm going to make up a rule, too. Now I think I want to make up a new book. You know what I'm saying? I think I want to make up one for ourselves.
Man, I got a good rule.
But ready. Here's my new rule. My rule is, don't be that guy who thinks that smoking her up equals you're automatically smashing. Because you're fucking it up for those of us who she would actually fuck. You know what I'm saying? That is 420 code.
That's funny as shit.
Nigga weed law, you know what I'm saying?
Because every nigga done smoked the bitch up thinking they about to fuck.
But the 420 code says, know when not to fly, but never wish to fall. And I think what that means to me is, you know, not every, there's certain occasions that probably just aren't the best situations for you to have smoked weed first before you went to it. You know what I'm saying? Let's just face it. There are some things where it's probably better off for you to wait until after you're done to indulge on your flower of choice, right? But you never wish to fall. Like, you hope, you hope and dream that you one day will live in a world where you never have to worry about such things. You know what I'm saying? But just always know when not to fly. And you can continue to smoke irresponsibly, but responsibly at the same time.
When is a good time not to fly?
I'm just saying, like, if you got a job interview you're about to go to, it's probably best that you didn't smoke a blunt before you went to...
Who said that?
Huh?
Who said that?
I mean, I just feel as though that it's frowned upon.
Fuck no.
I feel as though if the person interviewing you, depending on what type of job it is, realize that you just smoked a fat-ass blunt of some... of this nigga. Scrumptious L.A. honor. This shit is scrumptious.
That
nigga.
Shit is scrumptious. Motherfucking, you better have some red eye, some Visine, some clear eye, and some good smells, and you Gucci.
Man, that does not always work.
Shit, for me it do.
But see, here's the thing. All right, look, it's almost like the same thing of like, you know how they say that your fart smells worse to everybody else than you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's the same thing of when you've been smoking weed. To you, on yourself, you think that you smell fine. You think that you're all right, but to everyone else around you, they catching the vibe.
I don't mean smoke right before you go in the interview. You smoke, take your shower.
All
right. Then get ready for your
interview. That's the whole thing. See, there was interventions in between all that.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Just don't fucking roll up in the car before you go in there. I didn't see niggas do it. Roll up in the car in the parking lot and smoke before you, right before you go in the interview.
Right.
I don't know. I ain't that stupid.
Nah, I know.
That's the thing. I'm an executive to where what you do is what you do. A lot of times people have issues going on outside of the office that they need that blunt. They gonna fuck your shit up. So do what you gotta do. Just make sure it doesn't affect your work, because, you know what I mean? If you come in there and you're not doing it and it's affecting your work, you're getting fired. Right. If you come in there and you are doing it and it's affecting your work, you get fired.
Right.
So either way, just make sure that it don't affect your work. It don't affect your ability to perform. You know, and that's it.
Right.
Be functional.
All right. So, speaking of affecting your work.
Because I got her. Because I got her. Because I got her.
Go to the next.
When has smoking weed ever affected your work or school or some type of other performance?
Oh, shit. Oh, Bucks. I got one story.
All right.
Motherfucking. All right. So I'm working at this Aaron's warehouse.
All right.
If people don't know what Aaron's is, on the East Coast, that's a furniture warehouse. With tables, chairs, dressers, all of that type of shit. So this is like my second day. So I go in this bitch. You feel me? I'm high as a bitch, first of all. I always go to work high as a bitch. So I go in this bitch. They give us our assignments. And the nigga put me in the living room section.
Right.
With the heavy dressers and chairs and by myself. Now, I am 6'2", 150 pounds, 55 pounds, maybe.
All right.
So, I'm not lifting no motherfucking tables and chairs by myself. So, this is what happened. I get to the first order, and it gives me a simple little, you feel me, table thing to lift.
Uh-huh.
All right, get that. Cool. Couple chairs, I grabbed that. Nigga, it came down to this big ass dresser. Now, I struggled with this bitch for 20 minutes to try to maneuver and see if I could get this bitch down, and wasn't going down. If I would have, you feel me, I would have killed myself. Like, you know how you let it slide down, and that shit would have killed me.
Oh, man.
Nigga, I looked at this dresser. The dresser looked at me. I said, "How you doing?" It said, "Hi, back." Nigga, and I got the fuck. Nigga, when I mean I just walked the fuck out, like I didn't say nothing to nobody, didn't notify nobody. I got in my truck, started that bitch up, lit a blunt, and drove the fuck off.
So look, there was this white boy that worked at one of my jobs when I was working at this restaurant, right? And mind you, the way this restaurant was set up, all right, there was a spot in the front of the house where we used to be able to put like our jackets and stuff like that, and like, you know, like little purses or whatever. I'll keep my main book bag in the back, like behind the kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of times I'll always keep my jacket back there, but today, for some reason, I left my jacket up in the front part. And that front part, customers walk past, and there's a table that kind of is close enough to it, but not close enough to be too close on it, you know what I'm saying? But you'll understand why that makes sense later. So, fucking, I holler at the white boy, I get these flavors from him. This nigga had, like, this Dream Queen and, like, this Berry White and, like, all types of flavors, right? Mm-hmm. And he gave it to me in different bags, right, with the labels on them. And I took everything out and put it inside of this little jar thing that I used to keep my weed in. And I was trying to hurry up and, like, roll the blunt, smoke a joint. Well, roll a joint, smoke it real quick, get ready to go to work, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And get my shit back in my pocket. The police drove past. I was fumbling around. Whatever happened, I didn't securely close the top of that shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
And I had it in my coat pocket in that little coat closet right up in the front, which is really just like a little cubby hole that, you know, you can smell that shit. Mm-hmm. So everyone else who had their coat in there and pulled their coat out of there, their shit smelled like gas, yo. You know what I'm saying? Crazy, right? And then there was people that were walking past, because that's where you had to go pick up your to-go orders and shit, mm-hmm. that mentioned that it smelled like weed over there. Mind you, this shit was like some loud. And right. I had it all concentrated in this little jar thing. Shit was
everybody
so
smelled
up.
That shit.
Everybody right. smelled that shit. That shit was danky, yo. You know what I'm saying? Shit.
That's crazy.
All right, so we're going to catch a vibe, and then we'll be back, and then we're going to have some high thoughts from the mind of a stoner. Hey, yo, we getting ready to roll up and catch a vibe to this So High, a throwback joint by Doja Cat on Higher Learning. I was just thinking, what would like be like your initial plan of action if we were in like a zombie apocalypse or some shit like that right now?
Find no motherfucking guns. This is Call of Duty. And as soon as you hit the ground, find protection, find health kits, find guns.
Uh-huh.
Motherfuckers is out going and getting milk and toast. Ain't shit. You ain't gonna have shit if I put that yit to your head.
Right. I'm gonna take over like the Walmart and the sporting goods store. I'm gonna have we gonna break up into crews. We gonna commandeer the Walmart, commandeer a sporting goods store. We got all the weapons, artillery,
I'm
protection,
not breaking
food.
Up into nothing.
We gonna have to. Nigga, zombie apocalypse. We not gonna have no choice.
I'm dude. With them.
With the zombies.
Yeah.
How are you gonna pull that one off?
Nigga, they come by.
Please do explain. Nigga. I'm pretty sure everyone in America is wondering the
Trey,
same shit right now.
Thriller, you're not Michael Jackson.
Nigga, I'm gonna let him bite me, go run and hide somewhere and wait till I turn into one. And then I'm on y'all ass. I am on y'all ass.
Think about it, yo. We get to a crew together, we split up, right? One crew goes and commandeers a Dick's Sporting Goods store. Whoever works there is going to get down or lay down. They're going to join the crew, right? Get the Dick's Sporting Goods store. So you get the weaponry from there, the protection, all the outdoorsman stuff, the flares, all that stuff that's going to come in handy later. The rations.
Walmart has a nice
section. You know what I'm saying? Walmart, you want to commandeer the Super Walmart because you still got the grocery section. You got the non-perishables. Fuck all the shit that's going to eventually go bad. That's the stuff you eat first. All the canned foods and stuff that's going to last, that's the stuff you save for last. You eat all the meats and shit first. You know what I'm saying? All the meats and seafood is what we live off of right now to start with. You know what I'm saying? And then we go into, by order of shit that's going to go bad, you know what I'm saying, the fastest. And eventually we'll have all the rice and beans and, you know what I mean? Like shit. Mm. And we'll have the weapons. So you're not coming in there if you're not part of it. You know what I'm saying?
So this is y'all plan.
I mean, in the case of a zombie apocalypse, yeah, it would be my plan. Right. I mean, because look at this, yo. I looked on the internet, and mind you, I know people can say that they can make all the fake websites they want to, but I saw a website that looked pretty official to me that showed me all these simulations that the government was doing with this joint, like, government, like, you know, conference shit where, like, people from all the different government agencies meet up and do these drills, right? And they did, like, you know, like, mass school shooting drills, like, what to do in that situation so people are prepared for these things. And one of the drills that they had was literally a zombie apocalypse drill. Real shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, they had the FBI and state agencies and all this shit like that doing zombie apocalypse drills and had to hire actors to play the zombies that way that the government police people of all these different agencies and FBIs and shit, Homeland Security and all that shit, would know what to do in case of a zombie apocalypse. Why would they have a drill like that if it wasn't a possibility that weird shit like that could happen? People are going to say it's because I'm high. And maybe so. But it does make you think for a second, doesn't it?
Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm with them.
Well, Trey, understand. You know, with you making that decision, you're the first motherfucker I'll take out.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to tell all my homeboys what y'all plan
I'll
is.
I'll take care of the kids.
I'm like, they're going to the Walmart first. And they're going to the Dick's. We there. We're going to get y'all out. Y'all going to walk out that bitch and think everything good. And we're going to get y'all. I'm trying to tell you. All right.
So, have you ever friend zoned a chick?
No.
You've never friend zoned one before?
Mm-mm. I'm usually the one that gets friend zoned. Which is cool to me. Which is right.
This is an interesting dynamic.
So you probably never had any friends that you weren't attracted to.
No, Trey's probably he's in the majority though. He's in the majority. I'm pretty sure that there's more dudes who have never friend zoned a chick than there are dudes that have. I know that I'm in the minority of knowing that I have friend zoned a chick before, and I've regrettedly friend zoned one before. That's happened. Now, you know what I'm saying? That's the one that girls never talk about. Girls never talk about the dude who she friend zoned, who she regrets like a couple years later. Like, she friend zoned and curved this nigga for the other nigga, and then 3 years later, that shit ain't work out. That shit wasn't sweet for real. And then now she regrets the friend zoning. You know what I'm saying? I definitely got some joints that I regret it on the friend zone. The only reason why I say that is because I went into like a different euphoric state of recollection and reflection, you know what I'm saying? As I was smoking on that fucking Mandarin cookies yesterday, you know? There was something about that strain of weed that, and look, it's crazy because, all right, look, remember when I told you that I was laughing? Trey? Mm-hmm. And you was like, what's happening? What's going on? And I was like, nothing. Something funny just happened. I'm probably going to tell you later.
This is
later.
Okay.
All right. So you know the budtender girl, the older one with the glasses that was shadowing the one girl?
Right.
Right. So, you know, she kept giving niggas looks, like, the whole time, like, at the table. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they was both, like, you know what I'm saying, like, just into niggas, right? But she was, like, just giving that look. And mind you, just like we were talking about with the stepbrothers, you know what I'm saying? Like, fucking, sometimes there's these little signals that you recognize because you've seen them before. And most times, they worked out in a certain way. There were certain signals that were happening that told me, maybe in a different setting, or maybe even in this setting, me and you could probably do some things.
Right.
So I goes over to her, and I ask her if I could take the container home with me to take photographs with, and that, you know what I'm saying, for a souvenir, because that was like the most beautiful, sexiest packaging I've ever seen weed come in my entire life.
Right.
She was like, you can do whatever you want with it, baby. I said, what? I was like, yo, don't talk to me nice like that.
Yeah, she got the wrong one.
Yeah, not talk to me nice like that, yo.
That's funny as shit.
Yeah, you can't talk to me. You can't talk to me any kind of way, yo.
Your
eyes
got big, like, huh?
You know what I mean? But the shit, the reason why that pissed me off, though, realizing that, was that had I just took my initial instinct, knowing that I could ask her anything and she was going to let me do it, I should have brought some of that fucking weed back because Brian couldn't smoke. Yeah, I should have brought it back, yo.
Right in the container, right?
But because you're not supposed to bring any weed out of the original cannabis cafe with you. Whatever you buy in there, you're supposed to smoke it there because they're not operating as a dispensary. They're operating as a weed lounge with a in-house dispensary that you can purchase from, just like you would buy from a restaurant. It's almost like going to a bar. You can go to a bar and you're not going to be able to buy, you know, your beer and then just take it out with you when you leave. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's the same idea. But in hindsight, I definitely could have took some of that weed in that container right out there. Because it's not like they checked to see if it was empty.
Right.
She just looked at me with her little glittery eyes and said, "You could do whatever you want with it, baby." And she had the little mamacita thing going on, too, yo.
Mamacita.
Yeah, she had a little mamacita thing going on, yeah.
Which brings me to the Afro. and I'm not sure what vernacular you actually use.
I was,
you know, it has to do with Latin, it has to do with black.
I said of the, I forgot what term I used. I was listening to it. Right. I was listening to it when I was editing it. But basically what I was trying to say was that, you know, there is the Afro-Latina and there is the African-American woman, right? And not to, like, get into this whole thing right now because, you know what I'm saying, that there's black girls who are blowing their high right now just because they know I'm getting ready to say something she's not going to like.
I'm not with her.
I'm just saying that if I consider myself attracted in an isolated incident to an Afro-Latina woman, right, and recognized her as a woman of color as well, that's not me shitting on a black woman. That's just me saying that in this particular isolated incident, I am attracted to this other woman who happens to not be exactly like you, but there are some similarities that you two women do not want to come to grips with. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't want to come to grips with it, and it makes me the bad guy because I happen to mention it. But this is what I do. I mention my observations. That's all this shit is. I could be fucking wrong, but I'm usually not. You know what I'm saying? That's the only problem. Like, I could be wrong. I'm all right with being wrong about some shit.
What a nigga say, he said, I could be right, but if I'm right, then I'm wrong. If I could be wrong, then I'm right.
So what did you think about the original Cannabis Cafe, Trey?
I loved it, man. Just the whole idea of it. Of course, I ain't never been in no shit like that. We ain't even get shit to eat whole time.
Well,
the thing about it is that
that's the only one. Now, there are some joints that are getting ready to pop up that I've seen some of the mock-up, like 3D, like floor plan, like, you know what I'm saying, of. And they look like they're going to be, like, crazy, like, as far as, like, the luxury and the decor or whatever. But I think that the original Cannabis Cafe being, first of all, they're always and forever going to be the first one.
Right.
I remember going there the first week that they opened, and they were called something slightly different, but there was issues with that. But, yeah, they just have that earthy look, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, but Cannabis Cafe is perfect, though.
Yeah.
So whatever the name was before, it wasn't supposed to be that.
But,
what is it called? Mandarin?
Mandarin Cookies.
Mandarin Cookies, that shit was crazy. Right, you could tell from the first hit that you were smoking some shit you ain't finding in the hood.
Right, and for me, it was like, we sat down there, and because I thought that you couldn't take any weed with you, here's where my thought process went.
Hey, yo, this is one of my motherfucking favorite songs, man. Catch this vibe. This is Wiz Khalifa, Mesmerize.
It's a couple of us sitting down. We only plan to stay here for about 45 minutes, soak up the vibe. Then we got to get back because we was on a tight schedule yesterday. We just fit that in for some leisure, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was some good content, right?
Right?
So we wanted to get back to get to somewhere else, do this at the third. So I knew that we probably weren't going to smoke that much more than an eighth, maybe 4 or 5 grams. We weren't going to smoke a quarter, you know what I'm saying, unless we were rushing through trying to smoke it all up so we weren't wasting the weed, right?
Right.
So I figured an eighth was a good amount of weed to smoke real quick, seeing that we just finished smoking like 3 or 4 blunts, right?
Right.
So I'm looking at the menu, and I see a section that says for beginners, and I skipped right past that. And then I see an intermediate, then I seen, and I kept going. Then I got to this small part of the menu, only 4 selections there, and it said for experts only. And that's the one that I went with.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those on there were pretty expensive. They were actually the most expensive on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
But when I seen the words rare, exotic, euphoric, and all the words that I like in a sativa dominant hybrid,
right,
I was willing to pay $100 for that eighth.
Yeah.
Especially when other people were throwing in on it. Because it was basically just like, if you spent $20 to get high, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, It's a bunch of people spending $20 who all gonna get fried. It's just that you're not equal, each getting a 20 bag. You know what I'm saying? Right. But for the occasion, it was definitely worth it. So the cultivator was Famous Farms. Like I said before, this is the best packaging I've ever seen. First of all, when we said we were buying the Mandarin cookies, the bud tenders look excited. Like, they finally got a chance to, like, you know, right. open up, like, the holy grail of, like, marijuana, right? Right? You know what I'm saying? So they bring out this sexy black tray with this perfect grinder on there, with this book of matches, you know what I'm saying, with the alcohol
the
wipes.
The only thing they was missing was the sparkle.
Yeah, with the sparklers, yo. That's how it felt. It felt like you in the VIP at the club and they bringing you bottle service, you know what I'm saying, with the sparklers. That's the only thing they was missing. But we was going to get the sparklers going our damn selves, you know what I'm saying? So
what's the ticket on that?
The ticket to get in?
Like 100.
No, for the...
For the weed?
Yeah.
The shit was $100 an eighth. Yeah. Mm. It definitely was.
See, look, he liked the rich shit. You yeah, see how yeah, he smiled yeah, yeah, yeah. when he said
But
that?
The packaging looked like you were getting shit. Like when like, it was so organized. It was so organized on the tray, right? And then when they sat the tray down, you have this beautiful, like, fancy bottle of water, right? That's on the table. All your glasses of water. It's all real zen-like. The feng shui is all perfect, right? Boom. They sit it down and they sit the bong down next to you, right? Boom. They give you the alcohol wipes. They give you all your shit, right?
A bong then, was a vase.
Right. It was like a vase, yeah. It was sexy. Yeah. Let me tell you, yo. Then you pull the packaging of the weed up. It looked like you were getting, like, an expensive face cream from, like, some, like, fancy, like, European designer or some shit like that. Right. It did not look like any type of jar or weed container I've ever seen in my life. Right. And then it had the overlapping, like, angular, like, cardboard packaging with extra information on it and the name, the logo, the engraved on the top. Like, there was attention to detail.
This nigga described shit so perfect.
Because there was so much...
I don't even know most of these words.
There was so much attention to detail to it to where it justified the price tag, even though there's probably some weed out there that's probably better than that, that costs less, that comes in shittier packaging. But it's just luxury.
It made it part of the experience. Yeah. You get what I'm
like,
saying?
This is like, not weed that you smoke every day of the week. This is what you go out and you take your homeboy and treat him to on his birthday.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is cool shit like that. You're celebrating something. You know what I'm saying? An accomplishment. This is that accomplishment weed right there.
Right.
It was 33.26 THC. It was very Kush-like, but it was nothing like Kush. Mm-mm. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just had...
How did it break up? You got to break it up.
It broke up... Well, it was something that was... what I would consider medium density as far as the buds. Mm-hmm. They were popcorn-like buds. They weren't large and stringy and fluffy like typical of most sativas, but they weren't as condensed as the indica buds. They were somewhere right in the middle. They were really bright, you know, green with a lot of bright orange colors in there. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of yellowish in there, but not much, just a little tint of it. It had sweet notes and it tasted with like a, it was likely a limonene dominant terpene profile.
Yeah.
The thing about this weed, which I like the word rare, when I saw that on there, it made so much sense when I came back and tried to do some research on it, because I can't really find the genealogy, of this particular strain. I can't find a credible source that can tell me what the parent strains are for this.
That's crazy.
I can't even find any real information on this strain other than that it exists, but a lot of links for it. Mm. Like, there's versions and there's weed that's called Mandarin Cookies that aren't by Famous Farms.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to pull any of that information because that's not the version that we've had.
Right.
Just like I said, that there's White Runts by Cookies and there's White Runts by another cultivator.
Mm.
We've been getting the White Runts by Cookies. That's what the consensus says is the better one. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, shit, I fuck with that too. But let's get into the LA Honor now.
All right, so, yeah, so after we left from the Cannabis Cafe, of course, we stopped. That's our good old neighborhood Cookies, because we're like right around the corner from Melrose and shit. So we went to Cookies, and Chill Mo looked through the menu, went through, you know, we did some little bit of shopping. Khalifa Kush, was gonna get the Khalifa Kush, and then he saw this LA Honor, and once again, beautiful packaging. Now they have this LA like real like emboldened and like gold emblazoned, and I think that somehow Trey had this LeBron James connection in there, you know what I'm saying, and decided to go with this LA Honor from Los Angeles Kush, but I'm not mad at him at all because this shit's knocking my head back.
Yeah.
On the wake and bake.
As far as
he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
I can't even.
And I still feel up.
Yeah.
You know, I still feel like energy.
And it's interesting because this is a indica dominant hybrid, right, but it's not doing it's to not, me what other
most indicas is like real dull smelling, real like piney smell.
Mm-hmm.
This is like has a real sweet, fruity smell. You
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like you break it open and it's one of them weeds that you going to smell throughout the house. You get what I'm saying? Like some indicas, you feel me, you break it open and you're not going to smell it if it's not right there by your nose. You get what I'm saying? Like
right.
It's not going to have that distinct smell. You break this bitch open, if you under the age of smoking, you smoking. Your mother gonna know that you smoking. You know what I'm saying? For real, for real. But it's I'll let you do the.
I mean, it has 35% total cannabinoids, right? Cannabinoids. And listen, I mean, if you guys want to clown me out there because like sometimes I trip over words or whatever, it's cool. I understand this as a podcaster how this shit works. There's a know-it-all out there that knows how to pronounce everything perfectly, mm-hmm, and he's in the comments somewhere saying something about it. Just know that I like you. I'm all right with you. You know what I'm saying? Point out the mistakes and talk shit about it. But just realize that once you start talking shit about me, you have opened thy door. Hey, you know what I'm saying? And for me to return the favor. And if you listen to the show every week, you know I come with the motherfucking funnies. You know what I'm saying? I will let off a clip of the jokes real quick. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can get it. The people I like the most, I talk the most shit about. Okay? But let's not me go off a tangent.
Right.
Yeah, going off on a tangent.
Go off
35%. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, total cannabinoids, right? But it was 29% THC. It was a great mix.
This one was 33.04.
Okay.
Hold on, let me get this.
See, there's a lot on that label right there, and it was definitely like you pointed out. This isn't of atypical to most indicas, so the smell, knowing that the terpenes are different, you know that weed smokes stronger than maybe where it's leveling out at. But still, 29% is fucking strong. That's highly concentrated right there for weed. Right.
This shit was good. I think it's almost hard to count Sour Diesel out, but this might be one of my favorites. I like it.
Yeah, so far on the trip that we've reviewed, Mandarin Cookies is up there with the Bundt Cake and that Banana Pound Cake. The only thing about it is that there's too many cake blunts going around so at one time,
right,
that I couldn't really hone in on which one of those I like better because they just kept coming so
banana
fucking
pound
fast,
cake,
yo.
Bundt Cake and
I just know that
pound cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that night was a lot.
All right, we getting ready to roll up and catch a vibe to this Fuck Faces, Scarface and Devin the Dude on Higher Learning.
Ben.
No.
All right, so if those of y'all that want to grow some weed out there, before you start growing, you're going to want to decide if you want to create an indoor growing system or an outdoor growing system. Most people decide on an indoor growing system. You can control your climate more. You can control your space more. It's a lot easier, especially when you're creating hybrids. Obviously, there are experts out there who have been growing outdoors since the beginning of time with techniques that have been passed down from generation to generation, but you are probably not one of them. So your best bet is to create a hydroponic system. One of the main benefits of hydroponics is that it promotes faster growth. There's a couple different kinds of ways that you can do this. I'm going to briefly give you some basic information, and then, of course, you can go look into it more. I will have links on the website that will take you to much more in-depth articles of how you can build your own hydroponic system. So the first one we're going to talk about this episode is called a deep water culture, and this is growing where each of the plant's roots are growing in a tub of water. It doesn't need to really expend energy to search what the plant needs because nutrients are easily accessible by the roots because they're directly suspended in the water. They have an unlimited supply of oxygen, and because of added oxygen from the air stone in the reservoir, the plant is spending less energy finding what it needs to grow. And there's a lot of different ways that you could build one of these at home. I mean, there are commercial ones that are for sale. I would say go against that. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, if you have the money and you just want to just blow it on buying a commercially built already hydroponic system, then go for it. I mean, you're going to get your result. But if you're really on some do-it-yourself trying to create this shit for yourself, I would just look at some videos, look at some articles on the internet, and look at how you can start to build one for yourself. Because I've seen a lot of really simple builds that have turned out some really great bud. So next episode, I'll tell you about another hydroponic method, but I figure
I'm not gonna lie, they got some really good looking ones you can buy.
Yeah, they do. They do got some good looking ones you can buy.
Hey, where the wrench at, bro?
All right, so let's get into the munchies.
Some Skittles, I get something to drink, cause I got the munchies.
I've been smoking dope.
I got the munchies.
That's my I've been smoking dope.
All right, so since we ate some mandarin cookies, I figured that I'll give you a recipe for the classic edible chocolate chip cookies. All right? So you guys have already made your can of butter. You know what I'm saying? You have that on deck already. So that's the main ingredient that you're going to use to infuse these cookies. You're basically, if you don't want to use my recipe, then literally just find your favorite chocolate chip cookie recipe and replace the regular butter with your can of butter. But if you don't have a chocolate chip cookie recipe, then you can take 3/4 cups of can of butter, 2 large eggs, 1 cup of packed dark brown sugar, 1/2 cup of white sugar, 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract, 2 1/4 cups of all-purpose flour, 3/4 teaspoons of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of fine salt, 1 bag of semi-sweet or dark chocolate chips, and then you could put whatever else you want in there, whether that be walnuts, pretzels, you know what I'm saying, peanuts, whatever. I don't know what the fuck people put in their cookies. I just like mine with the regular chocolate chips, or maybe you could add like the little peanut butter chocolate chips or something. You preheat the oven to 375 degrees, grease 2 cookie sheets. You melt the butter down and let it cool down slightly. Then you place the butter and mix it with the eggs, the brown, the white sugars, the vanilla in a large bowl, and you want to whisk it up. Then you're going to add in the flour, baking soda, and salt. Of course, you're going to fold in the chocolate chips, and you're going to make this into cookie dough. This is just basic shit. Scoop out the cookie dough, put it on the pan, bake that shit, cool that shit, eat that shit, and then you're gonna fucking get high. Now, remember, like I told you guys, eat your edibles responsibly. Do not eat the whole tray of cookies because you're not going to feel it off the rip. You're going to feel it later. And if you don't follow my instructions, you're probably going to regret it. So, make sure that you dose your cookies responsibly. Therefore, you can enjoy your reefer irresponsibly. I keep trying to like sell this tagline. I'm workshopping it. I think I want to take reefer out of it, but I'm almost there. I've almost nailed it. By the end of this season, I will have a couple of my little corny taglines ready to go. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Locked and loaded. Right. Right.
Okay. I understand it.
Yeah. All right. So,
Hey, man, get ready to catch this vibe, man. This is Throwback by T-Pain and Styles P. I'm so hot.
We got five.
We got five.
Where's your five?
Who putting up on the sack?
I got five.
All right. We in TV world, then we're going to bounce somewhere else. And then I don't know where we're going to end up. But first and foremost, we looking for top five funniest animated TV shows of all time.
Funniest animated? Cartoons, basically.
Yeah, I have to go see.
Yeah, but I have to use the word animated TV show just in case someone has something that would be considered that may not be a traditional cartoon if it's animated.
Okay. All right. I know what you're saying. All right.
Like Iron Man and shit like that doesn't count. That's not animated. That's live action. We're talking like animated TV show of all time. All
right. One.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Family Guy.
Okay.
Then American Dad.
All right.
Then.
Clear Details of His Generation.
No, hold up. Time out. Then I'm going to go with Rocko's Modern Life.
Clear.
Okay.
Then I'm going to go with Angry Beavers.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about that. What's the one more? I don't want to say SpongeBob, but I do like watching SpongeBob when I'm high. You feel me? Because they got a lot of undertone to that shit. And I just be like, what the fuck? They put this on SpongeBob? But, damn, what's a good fifth one? I don't know.
You know. You just know how this game works, and by the time it makes it around this circle,
you done already searched up your shit. That's not fair. I'm coming off the top of the head. That's not fair. No, what's the name of that shit? Oh, shit. Fuck it. I'm gonna go with Real Monsters.
Our Real Monsters?
Yeah.
Okay. Brian? What's your five?
I would say, yeah, definitely Family Guy. For me, the Cleveland Show.
All right.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's another.
Boondocks.
Oh, shit. Forgot about that. That's why I hate going first. I ain't going first no more.
Family Guy, Cleveland Show, Boondocks. What was the other one? It was Boondocks. Oh yeah, Celebrity Deathmatch, remember that?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
And then South Park.
Okay. My five is
I forgot about South Park. Yeah.
The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Simpsons.
Animaniacs.
Yeah. I was gonna say them too.
The Boondocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a classic. Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and say it, Dre. Go ahead.
Nah, I fuck with Looney Tunes. All right, I can't say it. That's how I know I'm getting up there because nigga said, I remember baby Looney Tunes. You remember the baby Looney Tunes? Now that's too old for y'all. Y'all too old for that one.
And the Maniac, somebody be like, he'd be flush the toilet, be like, it went down the hood.
So, that used to be my mother's favorite part. But we forgot about Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah.
That was my shit.
Yeah, see, you're going to call me disrespectful when I be like, Pinky and the Brain might. If I had like a six or seven, yo.
No. You can't throw. I was supposed to throw
Pinky and the Brain. Is Nas. He's Nas in LeBron.
What?
Yeah, there was a lot of classic shows that were funny, but definitely, and it's still here to this day, I think, you know, Seth is doing his thing with, you know, the whole American Dad family.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hey, the funniest character, what's the old man on Family Guy?
Grandpa.
The old man, the gay, the little pervert.
Oh, you talking about Stewie?
No. Stewie is not the grandpa.
He's the baby. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the old pervert.
Yeah, the old guy.
Oh, I forget his name. Yeah, be whistling and shit.
Yeah, all right.
He
be like, He said, "Where's the paper boy?"
Cause remember, King of the Hill was funny as shit too.
Oh, King of the Hill.
Propane and propane accessories.
Oh, you know what the fuck we forgot about? And I used to watch this shit with my father when I was like 4, 5, 6, 7.
What?
Nigga, Beavis and fucking Butthead.
Yeah, I think Beavis and Butthead might have paved the way for a lot of these bitches.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because that was the first show
And it had that type of tone, like where we see, you know, how we're seeing cartoons now, Beavis and Butthead.
You know. Nigga, I remember when a movie came out, me and my father went to go see the movie in a movie theater. Like, I had to be no older than 10 years old watching Beavis and Butthead. Yo.
And you knew that you wasn't supposed to be watching it, and it was so great that you got it.
That was the best feeling, because me and my father, it was like a thing between me and my father. You feel me? Like, we used to have little Beavis and Butthead, like keychains and all of this, souvenirs and all that shit. And it's just like, my mother be like, don't have him watching that. You feel me? But when I'm at his house, I love watching Beavis and Butthead. But that was my shit.
All right, well. Yeah, let's catch vibe and roll up and, you know.
All right.
I think we're going to take it to Miami on the next episode, yo. You know what I'm saying? All
right.
We're gonna smoke some of this Medellin, Pablo Escobar style. And then we're going to get into some lemon pepper from Cookies and, you know, do what the fuck we do. See you next Friday.
Yes, sir.
If you want to listen to more, visit our official website at a420podcast.com.